Welcome back to Heaven and Healing Podcast. Be sure to go over to YouTube where you can catch us live stream these episodes weekly every Thursday night at 6 p.m. Central Time. Be sure to subscribe to the channel if you haven't already and click the bell for notifications so that you never miss a live. And whatever platform you're currently listening to this on, give it a thumbs up, a 5-star rating, and a written review if you haven't done so already. Thank you so much for your support. Enjoy the episode.
Hi, my name is Megan. I'm 24 years old, and I'm from Minnesota. And this is the testimony of how Jesus Christ saved me. Honestly, growing up, I grew up in a very broken family. Everything from a emotionally neglectful mother to an absent alcoholic father. And that really kind of set the stage for a lot of the issues that I developed, like, growing up. In between all of, like, the chaos between my parents, I also, like, experienced sexual abuse, and was molested by a neighbor kid, which really created, like, some sexual brokenness that kind of followed me throughout my life. And it just kind of compounded on top of, like, the issues that, were kind of born out of, like, everything that was happening with my parents. So I really became, like, this troublemaking, like, black sheep. And I really struggled throughout all of this, with having, like, a lack of identity, and a lack of, like, self-worth, because it wasn't instilled in me. It wasn't spoken over me. And it really left me in a state of, like, confusion and desperately, like, searching and clinging to people and things that I felt like would give me worth. You know, even though I grew up in a church, it was really hard to understand the God that I was hearing about on, like, Sunday morning services, when I would see people who professed to be Christians, like, acting very unchristian-like, unchrist-like, which really led to a lot of, like, bitterness toward God, and a lot of, like, wrestling. So even when I, like, begrudgingly started to, like, admit the existence of God as a teenager, it was more like I knew of him. I didn't, like, personally know God. I wouldn't say I had, like, a close relationship with him. I really went through just, like, this constant wrestle. And a lot of that was kind of, like, exacerbated by the church we were in. They did a lot of things right, but, there was just this undertone of like legalism and having to like make ourselves good enough and like worthy enough for God to even like pay attention to us, because at the end of the day we were bad, dirty, awful, you name it, and God hated us, and hated who we like actually were. And that like really made my struggle with like faith even worse, on top of like everything that I experienced as a kid and a lot of like the mental illness that I had been experiencing throughout like my teenage years. It was just kind of like a constant chaotic storm. It followed me into my relationships with friends, with my family, into romantic relationships, and a lot of like my lack of like self-worth and identity really led me into some bad relationships. So following the ending of a like relationship with a like pretty toxic guy who was not faithful to me, it really led me into like these escalating behaviors. Like I stepped into them because I didn't really know how to deal with all the pain. My family was really good at like masking things but not really dealing with them. So that's kind of what happened to me. Like I just stuffed everything inside and it never saw the light of day. It just wasn't like accepted. Emotion wasn't accepted in my family. So in like the midst of like that level of like hurt that wasn't being dealt with, I ended up taking a, like impulsively taking a job out in the state of Wyoming to work with horses on a dude ranch as a wrangler. Sounded right up my alley. Love horses. I really dreamed about like having a full-time job with them at the time. And you know, as some young and dumb 21-year-old, what could be more fun than going and hanging out with a bunch of cowboys? What I didn't really realize was the type of culture that I was stepping into out there, because most people who are working in places like that, they're drinking, they are fighting, or they are sleeping around. That was kind of like the entirety of the culture out there. So being surrounded with people like that who also were like deeply hurting and trying to like run away from their own past, it really didn't take long to walk away from like what little faith I'd had, just because of like this legalistic viewpoint I had. I really was only seeing like all these rules and regulations that I was trying to hold on to and constantly failing. And these people, with the way they'd been living, it seemed like it was a lot more free, it was a lot more fun, and what I was doing wasn't working. So at the very least, they'd probably like me better if I was a little bit more like them. And I desperately wanted people to see value in me. So it just made sense. And as I was like stepping into that lifestyle more and more, I ended up meeting this man, who was old enough to be my father, who's incredibly charming and, had all the right things to say to someone who felt broken and lost, to suddenly be given like this sense of belonging with them. It was pretty intoxicating. And that man, pretty quickly, manipulated me really into like this sexual relationship with him, under the guise of it being like some sort of like give and take relationship. But it was mostly I gave and he took, and it really didn't take long in that relationship, for it to become pretty abusive in a lot of different ways. And he was involved with things that I, at the time, really didn't understand. And I didn't understand, like, how much of a problem what he was involved in was. Because he was engaging in, like, Native American, like, spirituality, straight up, like, witchcraft. And it affected him deeply. So there would be numerous times where I would, like, hear things in his house that weren't there, or I would see, like, shadows in different parts of, like, the houses or the rooms, or I would, like, feel, like, heaviness in his home. And it just didn't make any sense to me. Sorry. Anything trying to hang on, get out of here right now in the name of Jesus. Anyways. So, like, through this relationship, it was just progressively, like, getting worse, to the point where he, would engage in some pretty, like, dehumanizing abuse, and it really broke me. He was just taking, like, chunks of what little identity I had and just tearing it apart, shattering it in his hands, and he really kind of led me to believe that, like, no matter what I said, like, it was my fault and I wasn't allowed to say no to anything. That if I told anyone, they wouldn't believe me. And it just kind of was, like, internalized in me. So, throughout all of this, like, between those experiences, there were times where his eyes would go from, like, this light chestnut color to, like, completely black when he was hurting me, and his face would, like, change. So it'd be really confusing to see him in, like, the light of day and realize he looks like completely different than the last time that I saw him face to face when he would, like, hurt me. And I didn't really, like, connect all the dots then, because, like, the church that I grew up in was very firm on the fact that, like, if you were a Christian, demons, like, probably couldn't hurt you or possess you. And any, like, spiritual gifts were not, like, for today. Like, they had ended. So I kind of had this thought process, you know, like, no matter, like, what he was getting up to, I probably had, like, a get-out-of-jail-free card, because I at least kind of believed in God, right? That's not how it works, just so you know. So, in, like, this darkest period of my life, I kind of just underwent, like, months of, like, silently suffering under this guy and not being able to tell anyone anything. And whatever was latched onto him, that darkness, had started to kind of, like, follow me home and follow me everywhere. It got to the point where I was hearing things. I started to see things in my own home. There would be, like, these voices in my head that were just, like, unending. I stopped being able to sleep, like, normally. I really couldn't sleep at all. And just lived under this, like, level of torment. And it really just kind of blinded me to the world around me. And I really figured, like, with how much wrong I did, like, even if God was real, there was no redeeming me after everything that guy did to me. And I really had no worth or value anymore. if any, like, whatever I had then, like, I was less than nothing after that. And, you know, it just kind of compounded on top of, like, having, like, not a very good job where I like, watched animals die, where people would, like, make fun of my passion for horses and just kind of followed into the belief that, like, I couldn't do anything, that I wasn't capable, and that I wasn't worthwhile to anyone. And eventually, my job just kind of fell apart out there. And I was kind of stranded because my housing was tied to this job. So I had to get my entire life, like, packed away, squared away in, like, 11 days and also find, like, a job or a place to live because I did not want to go back home with my tail tucked between my legs. And I definitely didn't want anyone in my family to know what had actually been happening out in Wyoming because it was terrible. I was a husk. I had nothing left to give. But with every job that I tried to reach out to, I mean, I looked at jobs for ranches all around the country, and nothing worked out. So I didn't really tell anyone, like, exactly where I was going or what I was doing or where I was going to end up. I just kind of packed up all my stuff into my car, didn't tell the guy I was in abusive relationship with where that I was even leaving or lost my job. I just up and left. Landed back in my hometown with my family and found a job and apartment, and then I shut myself in my apartment for the better part of a month after I got back. I, like, didn't really interact with anybody. I really didn't leave unless I had to work. And just, like, lived with, it was really just me and these voices that followed me everywhere. And with how bad it was getting, it was at the point where I didn't want to live anymore. I didn't really see any point in trying. And, you know, I just remember one Thursday, mid-morning, where I was curled up in the corner of my shower, like, on sitting on the floor, crying my eyes out. And I heard this voice in my head that basically said, "You're such a coward. You can't even, like, off yourself the right way. When are you just gonna, like, do the right thing and end this? You should just die." And I looked up toward the ceiling in that shower, and for the first time in probably over a year, I prayed, and I was like, "God, if you're real, I need your help, because I can't live like this anymore. At the very least, just let me die. I just want it to be done." And it was around that time when my little sister, who I'm very close with, started dragging me back into the public, which I did not appreciate at the time. I was pretty content to wallow away by myself in my shame and self-pity. And she started dragging me to this church she'd started going to probably a couple months before that. And it was in the drives to and from church that I started to realize that something about her was different, but I really couldn't place my finger on it. I couldn't figure out what it was. But she kept coming back and she kept dragging me out into the light when I didn't want to be there. And was really patient with me when I was pretty not fun to be around. And it got to the point where, like, just to skip ahead a couple of weeks after she dragged me to church a couple times, she called me up as I was just getting out of work. I'd worked a later shift, and she was like, "Hey, where are you right now? Are you done with work?" I was like, "Yeah, I just finished. You have to meet me at Perkins right now. It's really important. I had to tell you what I just, like, heard and saw." So, you know, being the best, dutiful, older big sister, I met her at Perkins, and she, like, almost couldn't contain herself, like, right away. As we were sitting down, she started telling me about this discipleship class that she went to at, that was being held at the church that she'd been going to. And that she had met these Christians there who had these insane stories and experiences. Like, one of them, she was telling me about how, like, the lady was given, like, this, but, like, the Holy Spirit gave this lady a dagger of light that she stabbed a demon of death in the neck with. I was like, this girl's in a cult. I don't know what's going on, but my sister is being, like, manipulated into a cult. This is insane. I've never heard anything like this in my entire life. That's not, like, the Christians we grew up with. So... it was a little bit concerning. I was super skeptical because I was very much like, God's not real. Like, the world is a sad and dreary place. You know, nothing matters anymore. And whatever power there is, there's some in witchcraft. But that might be about it. And if that, it's coincidental at best. So... fortunately, but at the time, I really felt like it was unfortunate for me. I did not work the same day the next week when that discipleship class was being held. And my sister showed up at my apartment and made sure that I was coming with her because she knew I was not going to drive there by myself. And even when we walked in the church that day, something felt different. Like, I, like, the voices that, like, were literally keeping me up and keeping me from sleeping at this point, I could literally hear them going, like, this isn't good. Like, you have to leave. This isn't a good place. Don't talk to anyone. Like, everything that they say is a lie. Just, it was just kind of like this constant, like, don't look at them. Don't talk to them in my head. And one of the leaders of that class ended up pulling, you know, everyone out into, like, smaller groups and told us to pray for revival in that city. And once we, broke out into those groups, I started to manifest. And I at the time, I didn't know that that was what manifesting was. But I started to hear, like, on repeat in my head, like, you can't speak, you have no words. I couldn't move my own mouth anymore. I stopped, like, being able to, like, move my body. I was just kind of stuck in one spot and I couldn't, like, look at anyone. but one of the men in the group that my sister and I were put off into, he knew something wasn't right. Especially, like, when I, like, literally couldn't speak. And he paused what we were doing and he said, actually, we're going to pray for you, if that's okay. And I managed to nod. because I didn't know what else to do. Like, it just seemed so intense the way he was looking at me. And then he proceeded to look me in the eyes with this gentleness and compassion that I had never seen before in anybody's eyes. And he told me things about myself, and especially about things in Wyoming, that at that time nobody knew. Not another soul would have known. And he told me that the Holy Spirit had told him. And then he followed that up and said, "And in the name of Jesus, I cast out that hurt and abuse." And it was like the strings of a marionette doll had been cut, and suddenly I could move, and I could breathe, and that empty, like, raw numbness in my chest was just gone. The voices were gone, and, like, I could feel emotion again, and in, like, the span of 30 seconds, I was completely and utterly free in a way I had never been free before. That man's obedience, his, like, willingness to listen to the Spirit changed my entire life. And it put me face to face with Jesus Christ, the real Jesus, not just the washed down version that I heard about in church growing up. And it was through that I figured out that I could do nothing less than give him all of me, all that I was. That class, that discipleship class, ended up being the biggest blessing of my life, because I was directly poured into by some of the toughest, coolest Christians that I had ever met in my entire life, including the lady who stabbed a demon of death in the neck with a dagger of light. True story. You'll have to ask her about it sometime. And through that, the Lord gave me purpose and freedom in ways that I didn't think were possible, because honestly, I thought I was beyond fixing, but he met me at my ugliest, at my worst moments, and completely changed my life. There were people who met me even just a few months after I was delivered, and like just a couple weeks, a couple months into this class, who didn't like recognize me, who knew that something about me was profoundly different. And I can openly tell you that profound difference was the impact of Jesus Christ. I went from a worthless nobody to a daughter of the King. And I can tell you with complete assurance that I know who God is. He has brought me into a higher calling beyond anything I could have dreamed in my entire life. The same people who put on that class are the same people that I now work under in ministry with. It's called Awakening Hope Ministries. And I have had the opportunity to travel to different parts of the U.S. and in different parts of the world to preach the gospel, to minister to others, cast out demons, and bring the light and the truth to people who need it most. And that is so far beyond anything that I ever could have imagined in my life. If you are someone who may have a story like mine, or you believe that God hates you or that you're too far gone, I just want to tell you, it's not true. It's a lie from the pit of hell, actually. And there is nothing that you could do to make God stop loving you, to make him stop chasing after you. And you do have purpose. there's so much more to life than the torment that you may be under. But the torment's not forever. So, you can be made completely new. God doesn't just redeem us. He literally changes us into someone completely different. And I am living proof of that. And I will thank God every day for the opportunities he gives me to tell people what he can do. What he did for me, he can do for you. So, thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If it blessed you, please consider becoming a monthly partner with the Heaven and Healing Podcast Ministry, as this is entirely crowdfunded and your support means so much. There are ways to partner or just sow a one-time financial seed in the episode description. Thank you so much, and be sure to tune in every Thursday night at 6 p.m. Central Time for our weekly live streams on Heaven and Healing Podcast over on YouTube. The episodes released on this platform are always just a few weeks behind the YouTube, so if you want to experience everything in real time with me, YouTube is the place to go. Love all of you. Jesus loves you. God bless, and take good care.